You know, we talk a lot on this show about connecting with audiences, but how often do we really understand what people are feeling? That's where Talkalytics comes in. Talkalytics is a voice-based feedback platform that doesn't just capture what people say, it analyzes how they say it. Tone, emotion, sentiment, the stuff that traditional surveys miss completely. It's like running a global focus group on demand, helping brands fine-tune their messaging, their positioning, even their product strategy. Because when you know how people feel, not just what they say, your decisions get a whole lot smarter. And here's something to think about. Emotionally connected customers spend twice as much on the brands they love. If you're ready to really listen, go to talkalytics.com/getinsights for a free demonstration. That's talkalytics.com/getinsights. Talkalytics, the truth is in the tone. Listening to AW360, a podcast from Advertising Week. Recorded live at Advertising Week Europe 2025 in London, AW360 features thought leadership conversations with the best and the brightest in the advertising, marketing, and technology communities. If you enjoy AW360, we'd appreciate it if you took the time to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice, left a positive review, or shared with your friends and colleagues. Thanks for listening. You are listening to the AW360 podcast, where we're recording live from Advertising Week Europe 2025 here at 180 Studios in London. I'm joined today by Zoe Eagle, CEO of Iris UK. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
I'm so pleased to have you. So to kick things off, tell us a little bit more about Iris.
Sure. So we call ourselves a global creative micro network. We're basically a marketing agency that partner with clients to help their brands have real impact. So we talk a lot about brands needing to participate meaningfully in people's lives, in their cultures, and in their communities. And that's what we are set up to partner with our clients to do.
Well, AI, and you knew it was coming, the AI question.
Always.
AI is changing the way we work in marketing, but if it's based on biased data, it could actually make things worse. Where are you seeing gender bias sneak into AI tools, and why should we be paying more attention to it?
Yeah, so I think the question around whether AI and generative AI is biased, I think has sort of been answered. Like any data set, we know that there is an overrepresentation of certain lived experience versus other lived experience. And we're seeing that crop up in the information that generative AI throws out to us and what generative AI creates. And so in many ways, it's a very sort of rapid distillation of all of the bias and all of the stereotyping and all of the generalizing that exists in our world. And it's not that all of those things are terrible, but we just need to make sure that we operate with enough awareness of them, particularly as marketeers, where we have the responsibility of putting belief sets, value sets, and content into the world. So I think it's really, really important that we take a perspective on the data that is feeding generative AI, and that we're very aware of using it as a sort of jumping off point in many ways of representing what is generalized or stereotyped or not true about the world, rather than seeing it as an accurate mirror that we're holding up. But I would say that generative AI is not only is it obviously fed from data that is, as I say, overrepresentative of certain groups and lived experiences, but we know that people working in AI and generative AI are much more likely to be men. It's only about 30% female in those areas. So we know we need to be careful there. And I think there's another danger around the jobs that generative AI is likely to replace are very often more administrative and operational jobs, which tend to over-index on winning. And so there is a danger that we will actually remove women from the workplace more than we remove men, And then we exacerbate a sort of issue of representation within our workplaces. So we face a danger where there is a data set that leans more male, with people creating the tools for that are more male. And then those tools are being used and activated by a more male group. And so we are in danger, I think, of that kind of female influence and that female lived experience diminishing in the data that we see.
A little further down that path, do you worry that AI could reinforce the idea that women are better at doing than leading? And how do we make sure it doesn't box people in like that?
Yeah, so I don't know that it's going to actually make it worse, but I think possibly it makes it more visible. So as I say, I think there is genuinely a danger that generative AI is going to be, I think probably quite naively, but is perhaps going to be used to remove some of those more doing roles in the execution, in the operations, in the administration. And I think that is a bit of a worry, because it could actually diminish the impact that women have in the workplace at all. But in some ways, if we're over-indexing on those jobs rather than leadership and strategic roles anyway, it's not actually making the problem worse. It's just making the problem more visible. And then you've got to go back a step and say, well, why is it that women are in these doing roles? Why are we not using women's thinking and women's ideas and women's innovation in the way that we actually lead and steer organizations? And so I think you've got to get back into more sort of fundamental DE&I questions. Why is it that female jobs look like they can be more automated and look like they are more dispensable? Well, it's because we didn't have the best jobs in the first place.
Yeah, advertising already has a long history of leaning into stereotypes. And, you know, if we're not careful, AI could just keep perpetuating that.
Yeah.
How do we avoid that? And I think further to that, what are along the way, what we've seen so far, what sorts of stereotypes have you seen that you think are particularly alarming?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely stereotypes in some of the image creation that are very lazy and are very idealized. And certainly as human beings, we have a tendency to aspire towards perfectionism or generalized versions of things. Mm-hmm. I think that is very alarming. And I think that we, at its kind of most fundamental level, we need to be looking at the way that generative AI is being configured, for want of a better expression, to try and ensure that we're building in an understanding of the bias that it has, so that what is being created and generated is a bit less sort of unrealistic, I suppose, or sort of perfectionist. I think psychologically that can be quite dangerous for particularly young people. So we need to be really, really careful about that. I think in terms of marketing and the role of generative AI, I think it comes down to the role of marketing. We've had great access to data in marketing for a really, really long time. And some marketers, and I suppose some sort of philosophies of marketing would suggest that insight and understanding are really, really important. And what you should be doing is letting people tell you what they want and then kind of giving it to them. So you hold up a mirror, or you get very kind of tactical in the way that you're responding. The issue with marketing that way is that really you're always chasing the data. Data always looks backwards, which means you're always sort of running to keep up as a marketer, mm-hmm. which is totally exhausting and also prevents you from being an innovator or actually leading the way. What marketers can do with that kind of data and that kind of insight is, instead of looking for generalizations, perhaps look for indicators of what's coming or some things on the edge, and apply a more innovative mindset that is actually around what kind of world do we want to see? What kind of world do people want to see? And what role can my brand create in helping to deliver against that promise? So I suppose purpose is sort of the language that we use.
Yeah.
Rather than purpose as a kind of worthy thing, but actually, what does my brand stand for? I've listened to my customer. I understand what is going to make their lives more fulfilling and better, and I'm going to go on a journey to help them achieve that. And I will use generative AI and every other data and creator resource to help me deliver against that. But ultimately, I am on a path forwards that I am forging, rather than looking back into the data. I think if you know where you're going, you can look at generative AI as a creator tool or an insight tool and use it sort of appropriately. You'll identify bias and apply that to the journey that you're going on. You'll see stereotypes and apply that to the journey that you're going on. It might be that your journey is to correct some of those. It might be that your journey is to make life better for marginalized groups. Certainly, there's a role for brands to be able to get in there and right wrongs in culture and society. Generative AI means that we can see them better than we might have done before. We can raise issues and express ideas that are underexpressed. And again, generative AI enables us to do that. I think if the role of a brand is to enrich culture and to help us move forward as a society, then actually generative AI is a tool and it's kind of put into context. So I think that's how we can guard against some of the dangers as marketers. A lot of that stuff is about judgment and it's about kind of human judgment and it's about vision, which I think at the moment really is a human skill rather than an artificial one.
So far,
right? Well, but let's see, exactly.
From your perspective, what can agencies and brands actually do to make sure they're using AI in a way that supports inclusion and not just ticking a box? That's something that I've asked a few different people. I seem to get completely different answers. So I'm curious. I'm curious what yours is.
Yes. Well, so I would say that it's really important that agencies embrace AI and generative AI in their own operations. I think there is a real danger that we apply it to the work that we're doing with our clients and to the work that we're creating with our clients. And then unfortunately, we don't really learn about it. We don't really get to an understanding of the issues that it might be throwing up, some of the challenges and some of the opportunities. So I think that the most important thing for agencies at the moment is to make sure that they're really embedding the tools in their everyday way of working within agency operations to get to a really fluent understanding of what the tools are capable of and actually to use them in lower risk environments. And then when we go to our clients with recommendations, we really, really know what we're talking about. But I would argue that agencies generally are pushing against the idea that all of our vision, strategy, creativity should come from any one data source. We've had the internet for ages, right? We could have been, and it's a fantastic resource for inspiration and research, but it's not the only thing. We encourage all of our creative thinkers to get out there in the real world and experience all different elements of society and culture. And we would continue to recommend that. I think regard it as a tool, regard it as a resource, but amongst all of the other tools and resources that as human beings we have access to. So I'd say really embrace it in your own operations and then make sure that you're not switching off other sources of insights and creativity and inspiration.
Yeah, leading with empathy and creativity is probably more important now than ever before. And thinking back to our conversation before we even hit record here, I would say really a lot more important than ever before.
Yep.
How do you see those human qualities staying important in a world where more and more of the work is being automated?
So I actually think that they're more important than they ever have been. And I would say the reason for that is that they're most important when you're navigating change. And what we're going through as an industry is a period of absolutely accelerated transformation. We need to help the human beings navigate that. And the human sort of skills of empathy, making sure that our cultures are deep and rich enough and fulfilling and rewarding enough for people to be able to navigate change is really, really important. I don't think it matters what the sort of means of production are. We've got to make sure that people are equipped to face into this accelerated change. It could be generative AI. It could be something else. What's difficult is organizations having to move at this pace. And I think that absolutely vision, empathy are so, so important in sort of helping a group of people embrace what's coming. But what I would say is that most of us work in this industry because we like change. And I think we shouldn't forget that. We like the fact that we exist in the middle of media, culture, technology, which are really fast moving environments. We like the fact that what people do and what they think and how they behave are the things that are going to be important to us in terms of our ability to hit our clients' goals. I think we want to be in a volatile, fluctuating, ever-changing environment, which actually I think is why creative businesses very often have been very high on empathy, because they're fundamentally innovation businesses. And if you're going to innovate, you've got to be inclusive, you've got to be open-minded, you cannot be judgmental. And I think, positively, our industry has been really, really good at that.
Well, this has been fantastic, Zoe. I thank you for taking the time. If one wanted to find out more about you or about Iris or both, where should they go?
So I would say Google Iris Worldwide, and then you can find us on any of our socials. If you're interested in Iris as a case to work, have a look at us on TikTok and Instagram, or head to Iris Worldwide.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to AW360. For more podcasts like this one, be sure to check out Advertising Week's ever-growing roster of podcasts for the advertising, marketing, and technology industries, including The Trustmakers, our podcast with the Edelman Trust Institute, now in its fourth season. You'll find all of Advertising Week's podcasts at www.advertisingweek.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.